The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
To the Old Testament book, 2 Kings, and find chapter 2. It's right after chapter 1. That's right before chapter 3. We're going to read the word here in a moment. We do have notes for you, and we will encourage you to use those so you can remember in a greater way that which is communicated this morning, as well as bring it and preach it to somebody else. Amen. We've started this series entitled The Mantle. I want you to say that, the Mantle. And we looked at Elijah and how Elijah had this mantle. We defined what that was. A mantle is like a coat of hair, and it would be placed over the shoulders. Some say it came down just past the chest, and he had this coat of hair, and it was a way of identifying who Elijah was. It was a prophet, a mighty prophet. And we talked about how that mantle represented our identity, that our identity needs to be in God. And we talked about how that mantle also represents for us New Testament believers, represents being under God's authority, and how it represented also the power of God, and how it represents being a new creature in Christ. When you got that mantle was thrown on Elisha. He left everything and went and followed the man of God and became the servant of Elisha. And so it is that we come to the second message entitled The Power of the Spirit, the second message in the series, The Mantle. 2 Kings chapter 2, find verse 6. Are you ready? Here we go. Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As surely as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that. The King James says hither and thither. I always like that. Hither and thither. So that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 2. And so it was that when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit come upon me." Come on, say that today. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." And it happened as they continued on and talking that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and the horses of fire, and it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. That's a picture of sadness or repentance or grieving. Verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood at the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided hither and thither. And Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw it, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Father, we thank you for what you've done already this morning in the first service, what you've done here, Lord, even in worship. And now, Lord, as we break open your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, the living word of God, able to divide joint and marrow, soul and spirit. Move in power this morning, in the moments that remain in this 10 o'clock service. May we never be the same. because we'll know that you've spoken to us. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Every man, every woman, every child be brought low. You be glorified and you be magnified today. And may we never be the same because you've spoken to us and changed us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. There are powers at work in the world that your finite mind cannot explain. The natural mind cannot explain the supernatural. Although many will try, there's just mystery involved. The ancients understood that there was a supernatural world. And what's fascinating to me is we get further on and closer even to the coming of the Lord, you'll see a rise of the supernatural. Now, there's a rise of the supernatural in the church. There's people that are flowing and walking in greater power than ever before. Dead religion, Pharisaical religion, is being pushed aside. Just a little 1 hour or 45-minute dry cleaning service is not getting children off of crystal meth. It's not breaking off suicide. But when the power of God comes and a demonstration thereof, people will let go of meth to take the hand of the Lord. When the power of God is demonstrated and there's a real release of the love of God, the power of God, and the word of God is preached with authority and demonstration, then people begin to believe on Jesus. And that is just the way it is. And God is raising up a remnant. He's raising up a church. He's raising up a people. And I don't just mean this church. I believe that we're a part of it. But all across the land, there's a great awakening that's coming. People are dissatisfied with Pharisee, Sadducee, couldn't see, wouldn't see religion. And they really want God. And you can even see there's a stirring. For it, the book of Joel says, in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. Everybody say, all flesh. God is pouring out his spirit. And you can see it in movies. There's a desire for us to see cool movies. The Avengers. Amen. And see righteousness rise up and the Tesseract put down. By the way, the movie Noah, thought I'd just give it a pot shot while we're at it. They should have stuck to the original text. It would have been far better than try to take the account of Noah from the Quran and from different places in oral history and try to appease every religion on the planet and bring, because there's the story, the historical account of the flood is like in every culture. And so they took this thing, made this hodgepodge of nonsense, made Noah out to be a schizophrenic, didn't stick to the text, was all kinds of confusing stuff in there, and they did it so that this is what I believe. All right, my opinion is they did it so that they could incorporate the nations of Islam to endorse it, and none of their clerics did. They thought it was nonsense too, and they ended up with, it's cool. I'm glad they talk about creation. You know, I just wish they stuck to the original text. Sons of God sleeping with the daughters of men. Oh my gosh, that would have been creepy. Done the demons and the human seed and the corruption of the seed of Adam and that whole thing and brought it like that. Jack, that would have been crazy. Would have been twice as good as what they did. Noah was not a schizophrenic. He knew what he was doing. Come on, somebody say amen. The point is that there's this longing for the supernatural, and you can see it in the Harry Potter movies. You can see it in the rise of vampires, you know, in power, because really there's been a lack of vision and a lack of demonstration in the church. And it doesn't need to be that way, but there is a part of us, a DNA that longs to see the power of God. And I want you to know that God has servants who walk in power. And Elijah was one of them. And so was Elisha. I mean, Elijah, this dude was bad. He came against the prophets of Baal and smoked 500 of them. Is it 500 or 400? What is it? It's a quiz. 400, thank you. Just making sure you're paying attention. Somebody said 450, 400. Anyway, it was hundreds. He just smoked and they all got wiped out. He prayed another time and the lady was totally provided for, her and her whole household. He called fire down on an army. I mean, this guy was bad. He prayed, heavens were shut up for 3.5 years. He prayed again at the word of the Lord. That's key. At the word of the Lord, he prayed again and the heavens were open. Drought came because, I mean, this guy, Elijah, was amazing man of God. He walked in the power of God. He could, how many of you had some speed when you were younger? You might have slowed down a little bit now. You know, it was a number of years ago. I used to be fast. I wasn't the fastest guy, but I was faster than most. So I thought. And we had a foot race at a church that I was at before in Kauai before we came here. And I was younger then and probably a little bit faster. And I just knew I was going to wipe them all out. All these young bucks and young adults, we lined up and raced, and I pulled my quad. It was terrible. Praise God. This guy, Elijah outran a chariot. That's some wheels. That's fast. A chariot at full speed outran a horse. And this mantle, this coat of hair, somebody said, what's the big hairy deal? Well, it's passed on to the next generation, and that's the big hairy deal. It gets passed on to Elisha. Look at your notes. God's desire is to pass his power from one generation to the next. My final point of all of this, you could look at your notes, but we're only one generation away from a dead church. I said, we're only one generation away from a dead church. We've got to see the youth and the children rising up. You've got to be a passing of the mantle. And so God wants to have people who flow in power from generation to generation. And so the mantle is this picture, this coat of hair that prophets were identified with even from the time of Elijah on, even John the Baptist. Some say John the Baptist was wearing the mantle of Elisha, that it was kept in this special box. And that's some history. You can read up on that. We don't know if it's true or not, but it does say that John the Baptist had a coat of hair. And he ate locusts and honey, and he was a prophet, even with the spirit of Elijah upon him. Amazing. So let's look at the text here. So the mantle symbolizes the power of the spirit that's supposed to come on the next generation. We look at the text. Elijah won't leave Elisha's side. And you can see this in the chapter we read, verse 2, verse 4, and verse 6. Elijah says to Elisha, the Lord sent me to Bethel. And he says, stay here. And Elisha says, oh no, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not going to leave your side. And so he goes to Bethel. The same thing happens with Jericho. He goes to Jericho. And the same thing happens when the Lord calls Elijah to the Jordan. Elisha says, I will not leave you. But the key verse is in verse 9. In verse 9, they cross over the Jordan. And Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken. And Elisha says, let a double portion of your spirit come upon me. Fascinating. Elijah wanted his inheritance, for he saw Elijah as his father. Now, for those of you that are note takers, you could look at Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 17. It talks about the firstborn giving him a double portion of the inheritance. So Elisha was the hand washer or the servant. We read that last time I preached 2 weeks ago. We had a guest last week in the first message in the series, The Mantle. We saw how Elisha became the servant of Elisha, and he washed his hands and he served him. Now we see that mantle being passed on to Elisha. And he asks for this double portion, this inheritance. He doesn't ask for money. He asked for the inheritance because he saw himself as a son. Inheritance of the double portion. He wanted the double portion of the spirit. And then the prophet Elijah said, you've asked for something hard. And the reason it's hard is because that's only something God could do. Only God could put the double on Elisha. And if you study them, as I've said in other messages, you study these two towering prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah did 7 major miracles. Elisha, who receives a double portion, does 14. Now, when Elijah is taken up to heaven, this mantle, this coat of hair falls to the ground. Elijah picks it up, and he declares as he strikes the Jordan, he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He begins to declare, where is the power of God? Where is that which was promised? I saw it. The promise was I get the double portion. And he takes the coat of hair off and he strikes the water. He says, now where is it? He's declaring, proclaiming, I want to see what the prophet spoke to me, what God, what you have promised me, Lord, what I've been believing for, what I've been holding on for, I want to see it. Bam! Come on, somebody say bam. Bam, fried chicken, amen. He just crosses over on dry ground too, just like his father did, just like Elijah did. Amazing miracle. The power of God worked through Elijah and now is working through Elisha, who was his servant, but now he's the prophet. So God's speaking to us today, very simply. God desires to have people in every generation to have his power to work through them. How many of you are part of this generation? Y'all better lift your hand. Everybody lift your hand. If you're alive, you're alive. You're part of this generation. It's not the youth. Sorry, Pastor Alex. I know you know. Oh, but it includes them. God's desire is not just for an A.A. Allen to be so powerfully used in history through the word of knowledge, or for a Charles Finney to be so powerfully used in prayer and for revival. Or for a George Whitfield. George Whitfield, this guy could preach. Oh, he could preach. They would preach for 2 hours. People would come to see George Whitfield preach in New England at the Great Awakening hundreds of years ago. And they would come. One man said, he saw this guy coming out of his house. I mean, 20 and 30,000 people. They didn't even have sound systems. 20 to 30,000 people would gather in fields while this guy, George Whitfield, would preach under the fire of God for 2 hours. You thought I was long-winded. 2 hours. And you read through some of those sermons. This brother said something. It wasn't just some flowery deal. For 2 hours he'd preach. One guy's coming out of his house as droves of people were coming from a town and they would have to go into a nearby field to hear him preach. Guy's coming out of his house and a believer was walking amongst the throng of people that were going. And he said, hey, why are you going? You're not a believer. He says, yeah, I know. But I like watching him preach because he believes. He would preach 2 times a day, 2 hours a day. And he died. Here's how he died. He preached with fire. I'm not talking some mil-toast, limp-wristed, lackadaisical, lame. I mean, the guy preached with his hair on fire. And he preached 2 times a day. And after he preached the one message in the morning, he would preach at night. He would go and he would lie down. He would rest. He'd get up and do it again. He lied down to rest, and hundreds of people found out where he was staying. It was in New England. I forgot exactly where. Find out where he was staying. Gathered around the house, hundreds of people, and they begged him to wake him up so he could preach to them. They woke him up. He preached. He went to lie down, and he died, and he went to heaven. There are George Whitfields that are being raised up again. There are Finneys that are being raised up again. If you look in the Old Testament and you see all the anointing and the power and the enablement that God gave these Old Testament believers, the anointing of God was on priests, was on kings and prophets, and only just a few, but not so in the New Testament. In the New Testament, every single believer can walk in power, can walk in authority. He said, why don't they? Because they don't contend for it. They don't believe for it. Or they've been lulled to sleep by the God of this age to settle for a stupid movie like Noah instead of have an encounter with God. Well, praise the Lord. Elijah shows that in order to receive, one must do certain things. I got really bent out of shape in the first service. I'm feeling getting bowed up again. I got to this point, I just get a little bowed up at this kind of stuff. You've got to have a desire for God's Spirit in your life. Now, I'm going to just tell you something that I just cannot stand. Let me pray for myself for a second. Help me. Be sweet. Hallelujah. If it gets too aggressive and you start getting offended, just pretend I'll guess the pastor will be back next weekend. What really chaps my hide, burns my bacon, what I can't stand is when somebody says to me, oh, Pastor, I need some help. I need help. I really want to change. And they got their tear. You don't know whether they're sincere or not, honestly. And of course, we just take everybody as sincere. Amen. We're going to believe God. I mean, I know that everybody wants to change. Everybody wants the best that God has for them. But when you line out what the recipe is, when you line out the recipe for how to change, it really is pretty simple. got to renew your mind. You got to get saved, first of all. You got to give your heart to Jesus. You got to repent of your sin. He said, well, I don't want that kind of change. Well, then you can stay stupid then. Oh, wait, Jesus, help me. So I'm going to get off drugs. Well, then you got to cut all ties with hell. You got to get away from the meth lab that you keep visiting. No, but my friends are there. Well, how's that working for you? I know there's no meth smokers in here today. Maybe you're online. You say, well, I've got cancer, and they say it's from all this pot that I've smoked. Maybe you should quit. And so they say, I want to change. I don't want to be this way anymore. And I'm going to be tormented. My marriage is in shambles. I can't sleep at night. I've got this going on, that going on. I'm broken. I'm disgusted. I'm busted. I don't have a job. I want to change. How do I change? And I just tell them, well, you got to get saved. You got to give your heart to Jesus. Come to church every time the doors are open. Begin to read your Bible. Begin to break ties with hell. Get away from that person that's nothing but a hole in your head. You're shooting yourself in your foot when you're hanging out with, you know, evil. You're hanging, bad company corrupts good character. Get away from them. Just get a new set. Cut off. They're not your friends anyway. Most of them. And you start standing for God and changing your life, you'll find out where your friends are at. And you start getting involved in the body, start becoming part of what God is doing, and God will change you. You answer altar calls, and you get prayer. You get a communication with God and with your brothers and with your sisters, and the Lord will transform you. And what you might be busted and disgusted and broken, God will change you, renew you, restore you, heal your body, set you on fire, and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. But here's the thing that's amazing to me. People don't do it. They're like, oh yeah, I want to change, but they don't do it. Now here's how you know when somebody changes, when they want to change. They do.
That's right.
So how do you know which one is which? We just take it at face value and pray and hope that it all works out. We've had people that come to get counsel, and honestly, you've already made up their mind what they're going to do. Right. What are you asking me for? You want me to endorse the thing that's not God? I'm going to give you the scripture. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Well, praise the Lord. This guy, Elisha, pursued, stuck with it, kept going. He kept going. All these obstacles, Bethel and then Jericho, house of bread, and then the cursed place, the city that was cursed, and then onto the Jordan, a picture of change, a picture of going into the promised land once again. He contended. He stayed. Look, got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in church. You got to stay in fellowship. You've got to contend for that which God has for you. Come on, somebody say amen. And if you have the attitude that God's just going to find you and he's just going to bless you because you're pretty or something, guess again, Bubba. Come on, you ain't all that good looking and you know it anyway. Praise God. Come on, smile at me. You got to believe that we can receive, that it's our inheritance. God has an inheritance for you. He has blessing for you. He has power and authority that he wants you to walk in. And there's a sign. Look at C. The sign that Elisha had the power was, it's interesting because the sign, of course, was hither and thither, the parting of the water. The sign that you've got power in your life today as a believer is God moves you. Listen, miracles are normal operation for somebody who's a believer. You say it's normal. Say normal. It's normal. It's not just one guy or one woman that should walk in power and authority. If the devil rears his ugly little head at your house, you ought to have the authority and the power and the unction from God to be able to evict him. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. All right, now if there's red eyes looking back at you, just raise your hand. Hey, settle down. That you'll see the sign of the New Testament. Some have argued that it's not the only sign, but I do think it is the initial sign. It's not the only sign, of course, but tongues, praying in the Spirit. It's the initial evidence of being baptized in power and baptized in the Spirit of God. And I've had people say, well, I don't believe that. So we then sit down and you look at the Word and they can't really prove the fact that that is true or not. I mean, they can't prove their argument. They just don't want to believe it because maybe they haven't gotten that gift yet, and so they dismiss it because of their experience. Let me say this. Don't ever measure the Word of God based upon your experience. Just because you're having a particular experience doesn't mean that it's true. It's your personal truth of where you're at right then, but it doesn't mean it lines up with the word. If your experience doesn't line up with the word, how many of you know you ought to change? You ought to believe God for that encounter. And so you see in Acts chapter 2, Acts 8, it's inferred. Acts 2, they're in the upper room, power of the Holy Spirit falls. You know, it's amazing, there's 120 in the room. Why isn't there 500? You say, why would there be 500? Well, when Jesus ascended, there was 500 that saw him ascend. So why is there only 120? Because some people just get, you know, they want to go to the buffet. They want to eat lunch. They didn't want to wait for 10 days in an upper room. And the way that they were waiting, understand, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can turn to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, turn there. Hurry up. Take your time. Turn to Acts chapter 2. You see there, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord. They were in one place. What does that mean? They're in this room. Their hero, Jesus, had been crucified. Sure, they saw him for 40 days. He walked with them, talked with them, miracles. And then he's gone. He ascends. 500 people see him go into the clouds and disappear. And the angel says, hey, why are you looking up? Because the same way he's going to come back. Somebody say he's coming back. I love what one brother said to me yesterday. He says, I like looking towards the east when I drink my coffee in the morning. I said, how come? Because he could just split the eastern sky and come back while I'm drinking my French roast. Hallelujah. They're in a room. This huge festival is taking place. And I'm telling you right now, they are terrified that they're all going to get crucified. And then something happened. What was it that happened that caused a cursing sailor, fisherman, come out and preach until thousands of people got saved? Well, he just denied the Lord, but a month or so ago, 50 days prior, he denied the Lord. Now he comes out, Peter. Listen to me, men. He preaches, and they're cut to their heart, and this thousands of people come to the knowledge of Jesus. What was it about the cursing sailor fisher dude? What was it 50 days earlier he didn't have that going on? Homie got something. He got a package. He got the power of God. Do not dismiss that. You need the power of God. You need the anointing of the Spirit of God. You need that. Power to witness. You just go look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall be endued with power from on high. You'll be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But it requires contending for that. You've got to contend. Come on, he's a heavyweight contender. You know what that means? Come on, he's a fighter. Right? How many of you are fighting for the promises of God? The Apostle Paul said to one of those guys, I forget which one. Timothy, I got it. Said to Timothy, he says, wage a good warfare over the prophetic word spoken over you through the laying on of hands. So Timothy had a promise, and he says, you better fight for that thing. Listen, the promises of God, they're not just going to happen just because you combed your hair right or because you don't have hair, or for all you bald people. Promises of God are not just going to happen because you came to church today. Promises of God are not just going to happen because you hit a certain age. They happen because you contend for them. You fight for them. Listen, I'm just going to brag on my son for a second. We had a men's prayer breakfast the other day, and yesterday. He was sitting on the front row. We had a time of prayer before we ate quiche. Real men eat quiche. They also cry. All right. And so we were praying, and I looked at my son, and I said, son, and not over the mic, but I said to him, I said, you're going to pray, dude. He's like, no way. No. I said, oh, yes. And he's like, he received it. It was a press. I was kicking. Come on, the eagles need to be kicked out the nest. You're gonna raise somebody that's gonna change the world. You gotta get them going, not in an abusive way. But the kid can pray. He's baptized in the Spirit. He's 11 years old. God's using him. He hears the voice of the Lord. And so I said to him, I whispered in his ear, somebody else is praying. I said, you're going to pray for the children. He said, I don't want to. I said, I know, but you can do it. He's like, okay, all right. Now, if he really fought me and had tears in his eyes, that kind of thing, like, then I'm not going to shove him. But you got to test the waters when you're raising up the next generation. Just give him a little shove every so often. I'm anointed to shove people. When we were growing up, my brothers had a next door neighbor who was always pushing kids. And you know what they nicknamed? They nicknamed the next door neighbor that pushed kids all the time. They nicknamed him Shovey. Pastor Shovey, that's what you can call me. I'm constantly trying to push you into the things of God, trying to push you forward. So I handed the mic to my son, man. He turned it loose for a second. Pray. I was proud of him. You know what happened to him? At practice, he's our main drummer. He prayed this morning. Come on, how many of you are proud of him? I could bust my buns. I'm proud of my kids. That's the way it should be. He said to me on Saturday after practice, Pastor Alex, he said, hey, Dad. I said, what? He said, God gave me a new package. I said, what? He said, God gave me a new package. I said, what are you talking about? Some new beats. He gave me some new stuff. I said, wow, awesome. Do you know why I think God gave him new stuff? He pressed. God's got new things for you. Even that which is afar off. We had a prophetic word of encouragement in the first service. That which is far off isn't really all that far off. It's brought near by the blood of Jesus. And through your hungering and thirsting, there's a mantle, there's an impartation, there's power for you. Come on, somebody say, there's power for me. The mantle that rested on this Elisha is also a picture of the laying on of hands. I'm so thankful that we're in the church that we're in. I make no apology for the demonstration of the Spirit, for the laying on of hands and the gift of the Spirit. Many times we invite you to come and the altar will pray. We had such a small service, the first service, we just prophesied over every single person that was there. It's only about, I don't know, maybe 50 people. We just flowed in the Holy Ghost. There's life where the power of God comes. There's life. He said, I don't believe that. Then stay in your dead religion then. See, how's that working for you? It's probably for the people online. It's for you online. Amen. There's nobody here. There's power. Come on, somebody say, God's got power for me. Don't dismiss it with your intellect. Can you tell me, can anybody tell me here, why is it that planets don't crash into each other? How is it that light can travel 100,000 Come on, what is the speed of light? I mean, come on. And God is light. 1 second of energy from the sun is more energy. Listen to this. More energy that's ever been produced in the entire history, recorded history of mankind. 1 second. Ready? Bam. That's more energy that's ever been produced in the entire recorded history of mankind. 100,000 light years across our galaxy is one of 50 billion galaxies. And they're still discovering new ones. All of creation was made through him. He holds it all together by his powerful word, his word, his word. And so when God gives you a promise like you will be endued with power from on high, when he gives you a promise like that, the only one that can unplug that, the only one that can turn that off, only one that can flip the breaker to off on the power of God's word is you, because you're made in God's image. Me. Well, I'm made in God's image. Come on, we're made in God's image. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you go over valley and over sea to make converts, and you make them twice the son of hell as you are. I love Jesus preaching. What a preacher. He said that you strain a gnat and swallow a camel. And he says, you, through your traditions, listen to this, you nullify the word of God. The only one that can nullify God's promise is you. Oh, but the double-edged sword of the word. When you begin to speak God's word, declare God's word, and you receive power from him through the laying on of hands, but it doesn't have to be through the laying on of hands. It can be through an encounter that you have. I'm telling you, God wants to visit you in your home. He wants to visit you on the job. He wants to touch you in the quiet time that you never have or rarely have. Because we get seduced by the TV and seduced by Twitter and Tweaker and Facebook and all that other stuff. Don't do it. push it aside. Contend. If you don't have power, you don't have authority, you don't have demonstration in your life of the power of God, then go get it. It'll be nobody's fault but your own. It's not a matter of going to seminary. They're really cemeteries for most people. Some of you people will understand what I mean by that. There's some great seminaries, but many times people will go get educated, think they know something, have no power, have no authority. You can't teach a demon. You can't teach demons. And we have a whole generation that's demonized. We have a whole generation that's defiled through sexting. Use the stuff that's going over phones. I'm telling you right now, it's insane. Some of you parents have no idea what I'm talking about. You better get a grip. Better find out what faceplant, the Snapchat and the garbage that goes over Snapchat. How many of you know what Snapchat is? Raise your hand. I'm going to educate you. Snapchat is an app that's been put together, and I just simply won't let my kids have it. You cannot have that. Why is that? Because it's without accountability. And you can take, the youth are hating me now. Too bad. You can take a picture of yourself and send it to somebody, and it lasts for a maximum, help me, 10 seconds? Is that it? That's a max. You can set it for smaller. You can do it for 1 second. So you just, when somebody answers that, that's all they see, and it's off. And you know what you can do with that? And it's not recorded anywhere. That means somebody could take that phone and do some sexual gesture, do some naked photo, do some vile thing. I mean, the sky's the limit on the imagination of defilement that can come over that thing over a phone. And your kid might have that and all of a sudden see this thing and bang, especially for men, it scars your mind. In fact, pornography, I am on it today. In fact, pornography releases the same chemicals as drugs in the mind. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't raised in church. And I know this. When you see images that you should never see, it scars your mind. And comes back at the most inconvenient times. You need to have your mind renewed. You need to contend. And we need to pass on righteous, uncompromisingly righteousness to a next generation, walking in power, walking in authority. Our dear brother Pat was at the back of the church, and I'm closing, it's my first close. Pat was at the back of the church a weekend ago or so, and a dog came in the back. Demons are like dogs, by the way, and cats. And so I love cats, praise the Lord. So the dog came in, and I didn't hear anything come out of Pat's mouth. I just saw the dog come in the sanctuary because the front doors were open. It's a beautiful day. Dog comes in the sanctuary, and I see him see the dog, and he just goes like this. And the dog looked, tail under its legs, and it's all, ay, 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 right up. How many of you know Pat had dog authority right there? I think the dog knew that if it didn't obey, it was probably going to receive a swift kick to its head or something thereof because it's getting out the house of God. Oh, that's animal abuse. Just relax. I don't really mean it that way. I'm just saying the dog understood. He had dog authority. You know somebody walks in authority and power when you see it in their life. You don't need to be afraid of a devil. If you're afraid of the devil, let me just give you a little, how many of you, don't raise your hand if you're afraid of the devil. Let me, if you're afraid of darkness, here's what you do. Just take your Bible. Go get underneath your bed. Oh yeah. Just cuddle up, bring a little blankie up in there. And bring your phone or something. Something to read by. Cuddle up underneath your bed. And open the Bible. And read it until you're convinced of what it says. And come out from underneath your bed and blacken the ugly one. Give him a fat eye in the name of Jesus. Bust his nose in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? And teach your kids to do the same thing. There is demon power that wants to come and manipulate your kids in the house. And if you don't walk in that, then they'll never know how to grow. They'll never know how to walk. And we'll raise a defiled generation. Come on, the mantle. The power of the Spirit of God. Need to have hands laid on you. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Praying in tongues is for you. I don't understand that. I know, I don't either. I don't really either. It's kind of amazing. Mysteries. I've been in times of my life where I didn't know how to make it. I didn't know how to make it through. I would just pray in my heavenly language. And I had to contend for like a year, a whole year of going to church and going, I don't know about that tongue stuff, but God, I want every gift that you got for me. Lord, I want it. I had people, I've heard stories where people say, well, you want to pray in tongues, you just got to say it like this. She drove a Honda to Hana. She tied my bow tie. Try that. Just keep saying, she tied my bow tie. She tied my bow tie. Can I tell you something? Wrong. Wrong answer. That's weird. Yeah, that's weird. God will give you your prayer language if you'll ask him and contend for it. You say, do I need it? Oh, you need it. Another message. Let's finish this. I said it earlier. Look at E. We're one generation away from a dead church. So be filled with the Spirit. Say, well, that's for the super spiritual. Look, no, it isn't. It's for everybody. It's for you. It's for me. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. Why? Because you need the power of God. Don't dismiss it. Don't argue it away. Don't rationalize it and yield to intellectual pride. Don't do it. We got all of America doing that. America needs a move of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Stand up on your feet all across this place and just lift your hands to the heavens, because that's where your help comes from. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, like a fresh mantle. Lord, like a wave. Like a blanket, God, come upon these. Those online, those here. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we break every hold, every assignment of darkness. We decree, we proclaim that we'll be a generation that walks by the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, forgive us where we've thought that we could just teach or intellectualize away the supernatural or demon power. For behold, you give us power and authority over all darkness. For nothing will by any means hurt you. No poison, no scorpions or serpents. Behold, I give you authority. Touch you. Turn this off right now. Turn your rational mind off. Service is almost done. Open up your heart. Come on. Holy Spirit, come. If you're not right with God, if you're not right with God, don't wait another service. Get right with him today. You say, what are you talking about? The first step here in passing on the blessings of the power of God to the next generation is making sure you have it, and you can't have it unless you get right with God. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory. All of us have lied. All of us have stolen. All of us have cheated. All of us have, every single one. You ever lusted after somebody? Sure you have. Jesus said that you've already committed adultery. My goodness. You ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Yes. I mean, just by our own admission, we've broken the Ten Commandments horribly. So you don't need a rule book. Look, the whole point of the Ten Commandments, if I could just give it to you simple, is to show you that you can't do it. So then you need a Savior. You don't necessarily need a rule book. Thank God he's given us one. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. You need a Savior. You need somebody who can take your sin away because you can't earn it. And that's Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, the Anointed One, who came and died on a cross and rose again from the grave for you and for me. It's not religion and tradition that'll save you. It's not doing the right thing that'll save you. It's receiving, repenting of your sin and asking him to come into your heart and to be your Lord. So if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Those online, if you're listening by podcast, don't wait for another service. You might not have one. Don't wait to get your life right. Enemy, make sure you never do. You say, well, I'm not ready. Yep, you'll never be ready. You got to get right. Going to sow your wild oats? Your oats are going to get crushed. It'll be horrible. All you've ever longed for, all you've ever needed, is common to mankind, is a relationship with God. And when that relationship is made right, when you get your heart right with God, he satisfies you in the deepest places. He alone satisfies. Money doesn't satisfy, sex doesn't satisfy, fame doesn't satisfy, fortune doesn't satisfy. Success, as the world defines it, never satisfies. Only Jesus will satisfy you. You have a Jesus placed whole in your heart, and you need him. If that's you, you want to get right with God for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment to him because you've drifted away, or number three, the enemy lies to you and tells you you're not saved, you're not going to heaven, and you want to be assured. If you fit in any of those categories, giving your heart to Jesus for the first time, number two, you've drifted and you want to recommit to him, or number three, you just want to be assured. All across this place, those online, raise your hand if you fit in that category. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your honesty. Raise your hand high if that's you. Raise your hand high. God bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Thank you, son. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Anybody else? Pray this right out loud. Say with me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again from the grave for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you all across this place just lift your hands to heaven? That is where your help comes from. The Holy Spirit, I'm praying, fill, touch, encourage and strengthen, release power upon us and the next generation. Lord, may we be those who walk in the Spirit and the power of God, even as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Take someone by the hand. Pastor Karen, would you come? Now we'll have communion. We had communion in the first service. I preached too long. So if I don't turn you loose, all my children's workers are going to lose their minds up there, and we'll have to pray for them. So we'll have communion tonight, all right? If you want to receive communion, we'll receive communion again tonight. Don't you miss it. And for those of you that are getting your kids, if you would promptly get them, that would help us as we transition to the 12 o'clock service. And I think we'll have communion in the 12 also. Amen. Come on, pray for the person on your right and left. Lord, thank you for what you've done today. Lord, we want to walk in the Spirit of God and the power of God. And Lord, we thank you that you made a way for us. Now bless your people, cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them, be gracious to them, keep them, and give them peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Praise God. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska, and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.